Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Aaron. And you can get in here at 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us on the morning after one of the great games in college football history right here in the city of Houston, LSU and Kansas State. It was a barn burner, nonstop, up and down the field, hijinks and hilarity.
Whew. Lots of players.
I wanted to leave in the first quarter.
Oh, you went?
Yeah, I went.
For what? For who?
For LSU, for my wife.
Did?
Yeah. And yeah, we had a nice time. Listen, one of the greatest things ever in Bud Plaza, they were selling Coors Light, okay, which was awesome.
That was the highlight of the game.
That was the best thing that happened. And it was two beers, two 12 ounce cans for $5.
That sounds like regular
prices.
That is
so un NFL stadium. I've never heard of.
Well,
such
that's a Bud Plaza. Oh, really? That was the price?
Yeah.
That wasn't Texans' price.
No, that was not Texans' price. Those would have been $12, $13 each.
Yeah. So,
if the Texans had any control of it. Yeah, that was, you know, that was all. Please, somebody come to Bud Plaza and party there because they had a band there.
I saw the picture at the kickoff. It was a little light for what I would expect out of.
Well, no, it's January 4th. I mean, listen, all my people from Louisiana would have been here, but it's like kids back in school. It's January 4th. Who, you know, it's way after. Why are we doing this? It's ridiculous.
Maybe so. It was light in the crowd.
Yeah, it was the crowd. Why? Was light.
It is dumb for it to have anything
a Tuesday
after.
Night. I mean, who's going to travel after the holidays? You just spent all those holidays, and now
this is how you know you have too many bowls, when you have a January 4th game.
Well, for whatever reason, they did that.
Why are they doing that?
It's been the last couple years.
Most of the time it's ever happened, it's should you ever have a game after January 1st that isn't a playoff game?
So
I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
Why extend the season that long?
No, it's happened before. This is not something new. But why the Texas Bowl is doing it, I have no idea. But, dude, the LSU was without 39 scholarship players. 39 scholarship players were not there for LSU. When they walked, because they walked into the stadium, and, you know, you could see, we walked through Bud Plaza. I was like, holy crap, these guys are small. Mm-hmm. And then Kansas State gets on the field, and they had their whole arsenal. It was like, oh, my God, LSU's going to get killed tonight. And they did. Hey, listen, when you're without 39 scholarship players for COVID or leaving or whatever the case may be, you shouldn't. A&M was right.
Did everyone opt out?
A&M was right. We can't play.
No, did everyone opt out for why would you want to take that loss? But did you, were all the guys who potentially could be drafted, did they opt out for LSU? Like Ed Ingram and?
Yeah, what guys really?
Ingram will be a day three. There's that big guard that they have, Chasey's or whatever. I can't remember. There's Damone Clark, their linebacker. Like they have some guys who are getting
nobody
drafted.
Nobody played. Nobody. Everybody was out.
Why would you play here?
I mean, and that was
honestly. Why would you play in a Texas Bowl? Texas Bowl would be great. January 4th.
January 4th.
For what? I mean, your season ended in November.
And now you've got to go through the holidays practicing, through Christmas, and
this
then
is
New
terrible.
Year's and traveling here and doing all that.
I'd be so pissed
ridiculous.
If I were the Texas Bowl. They don't have any – do they have say-so of when they're going?
Yeah, I would imagine they have say-so of when
I mean, you're right. After Christmas holidays and everything,
and New
there's
Year's.
A break. Yeah. You're past the break to do stuff.
Yeah. It was just ridiculous. But – so I think that was a lesson learned for everybody involved last night is now COVID did get a lot of the guys and so they tested positive, but the lesson learned was let's not do this anymore.
Don't have the game here or don't play in it.
Don't play in January 4th. It's a dumb time to play. It's terrible.
Can they make that choice? Texas Bowl?
Yeah, I think they can.
Can they choose when and where to play?
No, the TV slots you. ESPN slots you. Now,
this is, and you this tell is no them, good.
Okay, we did our penance. We did January 4th. They put us back on December 28th.
Yeah.
Put us back there.
Put us December 22nd.
Yeah. Right.
Don't have us at January 4th.
Well, it's usually,
would you rather be the 22nd
good,
or the 4th?
It's an SEC against a Big 12 team.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a good matchup.
Was it an SEC team?
Well, no. No, that's what I'm saying. Not on January 4th.
And with opt-outs, you're going to start seeing fewer and fewer SEC teams that look like SEC teams.
Yeah, right. I mean,
at least good ones. I mean, good ones have pro players, and a lot of them will just opt out.
Yeah.
Transfer portal is something to consider, too. Now, it had an impact this year. It's never had an impact in the past. But this year, transfer portal, if you have a team whose coach leaves, you're going to have a smattering of players who end up leaving as well. So when you take transfer portal and draft opt-outs, you're going to start having some light rosters,
yep.
I think.
Oh, no.
Across the board.
Well, we've
and
seen
he's
it.
Throwing COVID, and it's like...
We've seen it, especially the big school opt-outs with the draft. We saw it at Auburn, you know, and all the people giving...
Like I said, Penn State had eight.
Taken away from their... Hey, U of H had opt-outs as well, so don't want to hear it.
Logan Hall... Did Logan opt out or no?
He did.
Logan and Marcus Jones did. Yeah.
Yeah. They both did. But even still, man, you just don't do it January 4th anymore, people. That is just a ridiculous, ridiculous time. We had a lot of discussion that we'll get into. Todd Blackledge was on the show with the afternoon guys. So we'll hear from him a little bit later in the show about the Kirk Herbstreit firestorm. Kirk Herbstreit had some sound as well, explaining what he was thinking. So we will hear from that. We'll do that a little bit later in the show and talk about the whole opt-out and all of this and today's athlete. But Deshaun Watson, apparently, and some John Keim, he's a Washington guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a podcast, apparently, in Washington. And he said this. Keim said on his podcast that from what he's heard leading up to this point is that Deshaun Watson would not waive his no-trade clause to come here. Hashtag Washington football. Now, I don't know. You can't make any trades right now, so I don't know that Deshaun Watson. Maybe behind the scenes Deshaun Watson was asked, or before the trade deadline Deshaun Watson was asked, would you go to Washington? I don't know where John Keim is hearing this. I don't know why this is pertinent right now, since you can't trade anyone right now in the NFL. That just seems like the timing appears to be off. Maybe he just learned of this, that Deshaun Watson at one point decided that he would not go to the Washington football team, which, by the way, will have a name on February 2nd. That apparently is some kind of news, and it is interesting. And you're just getting Bill O'Brien to, oh my God, do you see all the Bill O'Brien stories?
Do you remember when there was the Bill O'Brien story that he was the lead in the LSU, in the search for head coaching search at LSU?
I almost puked right there on the spot.
And then it ended up you never even heard his name again. This is Bill O'Brien and his agent get more stuff out. I told you that they used the media to get out there that he might get fired despite the fact that they were in the playoffs, just to leak, to try to put pressure on the organization against Rick Smith. I know the guy who got used on that story. His agent does more leaking of these. Bill O'Brien is the head. Are you talking about Jacksonville now?
Well, Jacksonville and Michigan, because apparently Jim Harbaugh is eyeing the NFL.
Okay.
And a Michigan official said Bill O'Brien would be the number one choice.
So here is what I heard. After leaving the Joe Moore Awards, there was a discussion, and it was, don't be surprised if Harbaugh ends up with the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
That was after left the Joe Moore Awards, before the playoff game. I'm like, really? And this discussion went like this, and all of us were kicking around with Joe Moore Awards. Well, I mean, you go out with the win against Ohio State, which is hard enough to do. What if you beat Georgia? Like, win or lose against Georgia, of course, it went exact opposite way. But even if you had played well, like, what can you do? The only thing to do now and Harbaugh was on the hot seat this year. There was a chance he would be gone.
Yeah.
So I think you look at it and you say, well, it's going to be hard to beat Ohio State in each and every single year. Maybe more importantly, Harbaugh may feel like he's a pro coach and not a college coach. Although I will say his offensive style is not really a great fit for the pros anymore either. I mean, it's hard to get through that Hassan Haskins running back tape because of what they do on offense is so cloud of dust. It's unbelievable. But that was the talk even in December 22nd was that don't be surprised if Jim Harbaugh ends up with the Bears.
The Bears are what he's waiting for.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had, obviously, he had success with the 49ers. He may be tired.
I think O'Brien to Michigan having to fade Ryan Day in Ohio State could be amazing narratives.
It would be
awesome.
O'Brien had some success, a little bit of success. He had Christian Hackenberg and had a good year out of him.
He hated all the fans and media and alumni. Well, I shouldn't say fans. The media and alumni. And the media and the boosters, I should say.
Yeah.
He hated them. Well, he didn't get along. He couldn't understand the people of Houston. He didn't like the people of Houston.
Well, he don't like
him. Alabama fans don't like him. That's what I'm saying. At some point, it's maybe you. He couldn't get along with people in the building of his own building. Like, at some point, Bill, it's not them. It's you. Your personality is going to conflict with college football.
Good luck convincing him of that. Good luck of that.
No, I don't have to. That's why I'll just watch that beautiful explosion in Michigan.
Yeah. Well, it's not like it's been.
In Jacksonville, I mean, this is Doug Marone's best friend. He and Doug Marone are best friends.
Yep.
Doug Marone's best friend is going to come coach Jacksonville now? I mean, okay. Now, Jacksonville probably would love to have Doug Marone back now. Some of the fans probably would. He got to an AFC championship game with him.
Yeah. They missed the days of Doug Marone.
I guess they do. Well, you mean the day of Urban Meyer?
Yeah, they missed. Well, they don't miss that day. It's 7:12 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we're just getting it started. We mentioned the Texans. Did you know that the Texans had a great, great year, especially with fans and ticket sales? Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Well, I found that out. And so we will.
You discuss, found it out?
Yeah, I found it out. Yeah, I heard it. Okay. Huh. Yeah. So we will talk about that on the other side. What a great year it's been for your Houston Texans, especially at home with the crowd and the fans. It's just been fantastic.
Wait a minute. We have a listener who sends us updated pictures every kickoff of every game.
Well,
and we get to see. Are you sure it's about all the fans?
That's one perspective. We've got another perspective.
Okay.
Okay. We'll do that on the other side.
But also, Bernard Pollard, former Houston Texan, is going to join us at 7:30. We'll talk to Bernard. We'll talk some ball with Bernard Pollard. And Kelly Eiko will talk about the Rockets. We continue to have national perspectives leak in about Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood. So we'll get with Kelly Eiko at 8:30.
We'll do that. We got a good show here. So could you go anywhere right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, what we're talking about is Champion Energy. And Alex Bregman was out of the game yesterday. Alex Bregman was on the sideline. Alex Bregman had a big tailgate, and he was taking pictures with everybody. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. You know why? Because he's got Champion Energy. Alex Bregman is a spokesman for Champion Energy. That's what makes him a great guy. That's right. So if you're looking for, why don't you go with somebody that's a jerk, okay? There's a jerk story, too, today that we'll talk about. But listen, why don't you go with a nice guy like Alex Bregman and get Champion Energy and save money and get the best in service that you can possibly get? When you're talking about your electricity company, it's all happening right here, locally owned and operated. You're looking for that electricity at a better price. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560, champion.energy/1560.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. There's a new buzz in middays.
Are you buying the injury? Because they've already announced that he's going to be week to week and that Davis Mills is going to start Sunday.
The fact that they're finally embracing the suck and they realize, look, fine, enough is enough. We'll make up injuries the rest of the year. He won't play. Davis Mills will finally be the guy and we'll see what we got.
You know what's interesting, though, about that is they embraced the suck without really trying to embrace the suck. Like they fell into the embracing the suck.
The way they went about this, in their minds, in their meeting rooms privately, they're going, okay, we did it. We convinced them we were actually trying all season. And now, because of the way everything's gone, getting our doors blown off every week, and then with injuries and other things, I think everybody firmly believes we're the worst team in football. We don't have to fake it anymore. We're there.
I mean, I can't say you're wrong. I mean, they're going to give their best, darn it. They're going to try, although they shouldn't. 2-10. Can't wait till the clock strikes zero on the season.
Check out the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham. Weekdays noon to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so the Texans are playing their final game of the season, a four-win season, yet another four-win season, and they're up against a team that needs to win to hold on to home field advantage. So you know Tennessee is going to bring it so that they get that that off week during the playoffs. So, but this is, listen, the Texans have been in the same situation. They had a four-win season last year. But Ross Blacklock, who you heard some stuff about Ross Blacklock behind the scenes. Not exactly.
After his rookie year, and Aminu, who's not here anymore.
No, who's not
Carlos Watkins, who's not here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they weren't the best workers.
Yeah.
And maybe J.J. Watt was kind of talking to them when he had his comment about guys not, you know.
Right.
Not getting after it and being willing to put the work in.
Right. Ross Blacklock was possibly one. Now, Ross Blacklock has had a nice season.
Yeah, he's been fine.
Yeah, Ross Blacklock has been a guy.
I mean, he was an early second-round pick.
He needed to come up. At least you know with Ross Blacklock that you've got a football player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his attitude and everything else is another story. But whether or not he can play football, I think he's proven
that. He can also change after your rookie season.
Yeah, absolutely. You grow up. And here's Ross Blacklock on last year at this point with four wins and this year at this point with four wins.
Honestly, I can say a year ago, we were kind of in the same situation. The mood obviously was different. Guys were just kind of, you know, ready for it to be over with and just going through the motions kind of. This year, guys, we're still fighting. We're still trying to find ways to win, trying to find ways to play together and get better as a team. You know, each game counts. Doesn't matter what the record says or anything. If you can have an impact on this team or just impact on somebody else's team or ruin the playoffs or whatever case may be, you know, that's, but at the end of the day, we're just here to get a win. So I think we just got to keep putting our best foot forward and, you know, better things and better days are coming.
So last year, just going through the motions and this year, not so much. And that, I think that probably, well, last year was such a, and firing Bill O'Brien after four games, a rudderless ship. You know, you had Romeo Crennel. It was just a disaster. No head coach. You had Deshaun and a four-win season. I think last year was just you could see it. And the one thing that we can say about Coach Culley is that the guys have played for him. The guys have really, let's face it. If you're on the Houston Texans this year, your next step is out of the league. If you can't play, or if you can't be part of the Houston Texans, chances are, you know, you're not part of, this is the worst team. So if you can't show up here and show yourself and do good stuff, then, you know, chances are you're on your last leg in the NFL. So, I hesitate to applaud effort for a guy who's making millions.
It's a low bar.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
that you're putting effort forward, but that's something that, you know what, is a thing these days. We talk about it all the time. This is a different breed. It's not the same. These guys are playing with pride, though. You got to say that. They at times, and especially this past week, they weren't very good. But at least they're playing hard. At least they continue to try for Coach Culley, and that is saying something. And you know what? Coach Culley is going to be back again next year, according to all reports. And you know what? You got a chance to be on a place where you've got a chance to turn things around. So, there is also an unreality that's going on over there. We went to the Texans website. And
there is an unreality. Is that, Aaron, can you go to dictionary.com and see if unreality, hold on. Hey Siri. What is unreality?
It is.
Okay.
Hey, Siri. What is unreality?
Derealization is an alteration.
Okay. This is what I'm saying. Siri.
Why can't Siri understand English?
Siri. My Siri is the stupidest bitch I've ever seen. I can't ask her a single question. She can't give me any answer. She didn't even understand what I'm saying. Do I have some crazy accent that she just can't understand the words?
All right.
Do you?
Unreality.
Does anyone else have that problem where they
unreality,
try to? Okay.
The quality of being imaginary, illusory, or unrealistic.
Well, I figured that's what it would mean.
Yeah.
Unreality.
The whole affair like had an air of unreality.
What does untie mean to yeah. release the tie?
Let me ask you. Okay, here's Nick Caserio on the Texans website in an interview with Mark Vandermeer talking about the fan support this year for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I would say the fan support really throughout the season has been great. I mean, once you get in, you know, whether it's the New England game, you know, you get into the Jets game, you know, the Chargers game you mentioned, like it's been pretty loud in the stadium. So I think, you know, we've had support, you know, from the fans and, you know, from the area, which is quite frankly, you know, awesome to see. You know, I think they believe in the things that we're trying to do, and you're starting to see that come to fruition on the field. Understand, we have a long runway in front of us and a long way to go, but, you know, when you play at home and you get the support, you know, from your fans, you know, it brings a little juice, brings a little energy. I know the players sort of feed off of that. So, you know, again, when we took over, I mean, we were trying to put together the best team as possible that, you know, not only the organization, but the city can be proud of. And, you know, unfortunately the wins and losses are what they are, but, you know, we realized that there was going to be a lot of work and a lot of time, a lot of effort that's gone into this. And, you know, like we've talked about during the season, there's been a lot of things.
Blah, blah, blah. Holy crap. That dude.
No, you know, when he did that, you shouldn't have turned out. You should just let it keep playing in the background, because that's what a Nick answer is. Now, what was the original question?
It wasn't about that. It was something.
Aaron, do you have the original question?
What
do you did somebody what ask him? What do you think about the fans? I assume that was the question.
No.
So the question had to be, what do you think about the fans? Because he said, well, the fans are great. All right. So let's hear the question about the fans.
Sunday is Fan Appreciation Day, Nick, and with the Texans in recent weeks, you had success against the Chargers, the Jags, parts of the Seattle game, parts of the 49er game. Is that a good example of what you want to show the fans? Hey, this is what we've been working on. These are some of the results so far, but you got a long way to go. How would you phrase that?
What is that, Lance Zierlein asking a question? Oh, Mark, tighten it up.
All right, so that was the question. Listen. Man, Caserio can go.
What do you want him to say? Well, I mean, it was disappointing, obviously. I mean, you saw it, Mark, 13,000 in the seats at times. It was embarrassing. It's never been lower than that. But
so there are a few things. There are a few things with that Caserio soundbite. First, the fan support. The fan support is something that we're, hey, way to go. Man, that's, you want to talk about an unreality. That is
the lie detector determined that was a lie.
I've never seen you. Now you had someone come in here, and what did they tell you about the atmosphere at the stadium?
The worst they've seen in their entire history of pro football
in 20 years,
20 plus years.
Yeah. The worst,
never seen a worse atmosphere. Actually, rarely seen worse than college.
Yeah, I mean, that was Rice-type atmosphere.
Yeah, for a pro team, yeah.
For a pro 100%. Team, yeah. Yeah, relatively speaking.
Was it worse than last night's game, do you think?
Oh, no, last night would have been the biggest crowd they had this year.
Yeah, it would have.
No,
I looked at it.
Both sidelines were full. And you want to talk about some excitement on the Kansas State side. It was, you know.
I think it was disappointing numbers in the stadium last night, and it would have been a huge win for the Texans.
Oh, it would have been.
It would have been like, hey, we're doing something right.
And loud. And no, it was, listen, and enthusiastic. I mean, when the Texans are trying to stop somebody, it's like, hey, stop them, please. That's, hey. No, I mean, it was night and day. I was thinking about that. Yes, if the Texans could get this kind of crowd for games, it might make, it wouldn't make any difference. Not now.
None.
But anyway, so it's just, You got to stop peeing on us and telling us it's raining. Pete, you really just got to stop peeing on us and tell us it's raining, because it just has got to stop. It just has to stop at some point over there on Kirby. They just have this unrealistic view of everything, It's just amazing. Bernard Pollard joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92. The former Texan safety is going to come in here and tell us what he thinks about what's going on in the NFL and especially here in your city of Houston. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joining us right now, Bernard Pollard, former Houston Texan and Kansas City Chief and Raven and Titan. And he's here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk about what's going on in the NFL and specifically with this game on Sunday. Bernard, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, how y'all doing?
Good. What do you miss most about Houston?
Houston was a lot of fun. I miss football. You know, I think that's with any team. But Houston was just the fans. I got to call out Frank. Frank was a fan that I met, him and Jazz and the family. You know, they were a lot of fun. You know, the fan base, they deserve a Super Bowl. They deserve winning consistently. They deserve a good team. I think that's what I miss the most, and the food.
Oh, yeah, we got some restaurants. You'd be disappointed. I don't know how much Texans football you've been watching, but you'd be disappointed with where this organization is right now, Bernard. The fan base is pretty much given up on it. The team has been just awful these past couple of years, and it's not the same place that you played.
Well, yeah, I can see that. I do not watch. I don't watch a lot of football, but I think too, when it boils down. It just goes back to, you know, they deserve better. So the ownership, they got to do a better job of putting a better product on the field. I think they allowed a coach to come in and just, you know, kind of destroy a lot with draft capital and pouring into some players that, they are contributing to the team, and then some of them not even there anymore. So you just ruined a lot. You ruined the future of the organization by getting rid of that stuff. But you know, now it's time to play cleanup, and that's not good with any football team in the National Football League.
Yeah, and I think it's always an interesting situation where you have to deal with. You were on a Chiefs team that had, I think you were there when Larry Johnson had his contract drama, right?
Yep, I was there.
You were there, and I say that not because the Texans have had contract drama, but when your best players, when you start to have issues with your best players, the Texans with DeAndre Hopkins and then J.J. Watt, that's a really bad sign that things are getting ready to go sideways. It's not always, contracts are maybe a little bit different, but it was interesting that one of your best players on your team when you were there, it became a little bit of drama there in the for the team.
Well, yeah, I definitely agree with you, and I think Houston have done they did a good job drafting some really good players, and you know, just the exit plan for those players was not thought out. The way you dealt with players, it was just, you know, you can't have that. You know, those are guys that are Hall of Fame guys. They are good guys, community guys, good team guys. And, I just think, you know, the plan should have been thought out a little bit better instead of abruptly just doing something. It was almost like playing Russian roulette, how you going to deal with them. And that's just not cool. They're going to have to fix that. I think a lot of players, when you look at veteran players or players that are going to be free agents, they look at what was done, how they dealt with their star players before. You just need to figure that thing out and get that ship going in the right direction, because once again, the fan base deserves better. The organization has got to do better because they got to put a better product on the football field.
Bernard Pollard with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 talking NFL football. Bernard, is there the way you played, you're big, strong, you were the bone crusher, Patriot killer. You rushed the quarterback, you covered, you ran, you could play. It was basically a line. But you and Cam Chancellor, is there anybody in the league like you guys now?
Forgive my language, but hell no. It's nobody there. I watched the game, guys, and it's just, watching a game of football today is brutal. It's actually hard to watch. And, I tell a lot of people, I think what the NFL is doing, the rules committee, they've got to do a better job at implementing these rules. And for me, what I see they've taken a lot of the aggression. They no longer want the defense to be the aggressor. Now the offense has become the aggressor, and that's backwards. Why do we have the name defense? You see they don't want the hits, but then you see offensive players going and leading with the head to run a player over. They don't want, they want guys to be able to run free across the middle, and you can't, I'm seeing legal hits. Like I get what you're, you want the safety thing to happen, but you can't take a violent sport and then say safety at the same time. You can, but then at the same time, you got to understand, like, it's a violent sport. Everything happens in a split second, so things are going to happen. Ejecting guys for hits that are legal or accidental, just like offensive players, when they go to face masks, they grab defensive players' face masks, and that rarely ever gets called.
It's crazy.
And so, I just think offense is the aggressor. Defense is no longer the aggressor. It's hard for guys to play defense in this league. I think if you're looking at the safety part, they're not talking about linemen around a pile, picking off guys that are standing around a pile. That's a safety issue. You don't want D-backs or linebackers to go low on offensive linemen, but you want us to just sit there and just continue to take hits from the offense, and I think it's bullcrap.
You had a post on your Instagram account. By the way, it appears as though you still lift. You had a post on your Instagram account. It was from 2019, but I think it's very apropos now. John and I were talking about the fact that yesterday, Bernard, we were talking about why did the 17th game matter at all? Was there any reason for the 17th game? Well, back in 19, before it happened, you said you were talking about the 18 game potential schedule, and you said owners want to play 18 games, give it to them. Players can't suit up for more than 16 games anyway. In return, ask that all UFA contracts, $16 million and lower, be fully guaranteed. Press them about the cap as well. They can do better than $15 million. Hashtag insurance for life. I want to insure us for life. I want to talk about the NFLPA and their relationship with the NFL. And what are your thoughts on that when you were in the league and now? Because a lot of players are very critical. They don't think Demaurey Smith is getting what the players should be getting relative to the entire package.
Oh, yes. I definitely, a lot of players, we can do better. The NFLPA can do better. And I know they put out there, they portray like, oh, we're doing everything we can. No, we're not. No, you're not. We are, the players are the one that's going out there doing everything. And you're representing the players, but you're not going out there and trying to do everything you can. It's more or less Roger Goodell and the owners are dictating everything, and then we agree to what they put out there, what they give to us. Well, at the end of the day, we're the less than 1% that are capable of playing at a high level consistently and allowing them to make the money that they're making. You know, these organizations and everybody else. So I just think, you know, Smith has got to do a better job. You know, he's got to care about the player. You can't tell me you can't give guys life insurance. You can't tell me that you can't go in there and negotiate with players that are making $16 million or less, because that's where your roster is made up. Your roster is made up of those guys making that $16 million or less. You know, and so I think we will have a better product. I think you will have the player coach player organization relationship would be a lot better if they knew those contracts were guaranteed, because they can't screw guys over. You know, I think it would eliminate a lot of performance based incentives. Simply because if we guaranteed the contract, don't worry about any of that. We don't have to worry about the poor sportsman, or have to worry about a fan trying to decipher, okay, well, wait, did that player just go off because of an incentive? Did he just do whatever because the team did him wrong? Did he just do whatever because he's angry? Whatever it may be, those things can be worked out, but we're not doing a good job of it. And Smith has got to do better. I didn't like it when he came in. I didn't like it when I was a part of the PA. I did not agree with things that he was saying and doing. I tried to tell guys about it. They didn't listen. And this is, I mean, the NFL owners and Roger Goodell, they've run amok with it. And it's sad. It's truly sad that, you know, we're able to, as players, and I don't want to neglect the fan. I don't want to sound selfish in any kind of way, but the players are making a lot of money, and I get it. They got a small window to make it, but they're making the owners a lot of money, and that money is out there to be, you know, that can be put back into the players as far as after football, their post life, their post career. You can help them. You can help them. We got too many old guys that are sitting here banged up, bruised up, messed up, that can use insurance. But you know what? After 7 years, if you played an extended period of time in the league, you don't have insurance anymore. So you just got to go out there and find your own insurance and do all this and do that. And I understand his life, but they can do a better job of helping guys.
That's crap. That is crap. There's no question. There's no question they got to do a better job, especially as the players get older. Bernard Pollard with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Andre Johnson, a finalist for the Hall of Fame. Talk about him getting in. Deserve it?
Oh, heck yeah. Dre is he's everything you want in a player, in a man representing your organization, a player representing your organization, a guy in a community. You know, he's everything you wanted. Dre was, he's an outstanding teammate. You know, he's a guy that doesn't say much. He truly wants to go show it on the field. He is a quiet dude. I think, you know, a lot of guys, even fans and people in the NFL were surprised when he even got into the fight. You know, you push Dre, you back him into a corner, he's going to come out swinging. And, you know, but, you know, he's a guy that I enjoy playing against. He's a guy that I enjoyed being teammates with. And he truly deserves it. He shattered records. He was a guy that was a dominant force in the NFL for a long time. Definitely deserves a gold jacket.
Yeah, well, you were there when Matt Schaub was there with him, and he had less than Matt Schaub for a lot of his career, and that's something that's got to go towards him going to the Hall of Fame. Bernard Pollard here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bernard, before you go, I just want to say you still haunt me to this day. I don't know why you did this, but oftentimes, you know, you would take your shower and then you would come out of the shower. And you would stand there naked, ready for your interview, as opposed to getting dressed first. Can you explain why you did that to us?
Okay. First of all, let me apologize. I'm sorry. It's one of those things where, you know, every team I played on, so my teammates, they hated me because I took all the towels. I loved to have 10 or more towels, because I needed a towel to sit my butt on, I needed a towel to put on my upper body, my lower body, and then I needed a towel to dry off with, and, you know, and I made sure, you know, I threw them in a dirty clothes hamper. But, yeah, so I like to air dry every now and again. I'm a nudist, you know, so my teammates would definitely get pissed at me. Frank was my locker mate. Frank and Eugene, you know, they got a chance to talk to the crack every once in a while. So, you know, it was just one of those things, man, where I just had to air dry. I had to get ready. I wanted to be ready. I wanted to give you guys everything that I had.
Yeah, and so everything. Everything.
Everything, you know. So, you know, I made sure, I still do it to this day. It's weird. Like, I get out the shower and I just stand there butt naked and just, you know, sometimes I'll be on the phone. Like, I don't know what makes me want to spark up conversations naked when I'm on the phone. But, you know, it's not FaceTime. I'm on the phone, though.
Hmm. Well, it's weird. It's indelibly marked in my brain. So
Kevin Cooper is listening right now.
Uh-huh.
Former
you remember
Texans
Coop?
Media relations
yeah.
guy.
Heck
he just
yeah.
said, and all he texted was BP being butt ass naked in a picture of Henry Hill. Picture from Goodfellas just laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
The gif of
Anyway, good times, Bernard, man. We appreciate your time and thanks for your thoughts on all of this stuff. Do you still identify with the Chiefs? You think they're going to do it this year?
Hey, their window is closing. You know, their window is closing. I think, you know, you look at them and they can still do some special things, but I think they're limited. I don't, you know, a lot of people talk about Tyreek Hill. You know, he's not a number one receiver. I think they're asking him to be a number one when he's a gadget guy that can do special things. So, you know, Coach Reed is a great coach. But I think, you know, the things that he do offensively, he has a small window. You look at Philly, you look at, what he's done with Kansas City. You know, I really do. I think that window's closing there. So they better take advantage of it. I don't like them. Potentially winning it. I like Buffalo. I like some other teams potentially taking it. But you know, I identify with football. You know, I don't necessarily go after one team. People ask me all the time about, you know, what team. I'm like, dude, I if I watch football, I just like the game of football. I don't hate a team. I don't dislike anybody. I want the product to be good.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, that's Bernard Pollard right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good talking to you again, Bernard. Thanks for hanging with us.
I appreciate you guys for having me. Thank you.
All right, there's Bernard Pollard right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And now, more appropriate than ever, here's Lance Zierlein talking about foot and ankle problems.
Well, I mean, it's true. And a guy who actually, once again, a guy who was I believe Dr. Lateef was a DB, if I'm not mistaken, at Baylor. He played college football. He knows about sports injuries, but it's not just sports injuries. I'll give you an example, and this has happened to me, and it took a long time to get better if you just do it by yourself. If you wait it out, it'll take over a year in many cases. If you have chronic foot problems, like when you step out, if your first step of the day out of the bed, you got a lot of pain shooting through your heel towards the middle of your foot, towards the heel, that's going to be plantar fasciitis. And Dr. Lateef Nuruddin at the Bayou City Foot and Ankle location, he's going to help you get you back on your feet and pain-free. And it's something that a lot of people deal with. They deal with pain from diabetes. They deal with pain from hammer toe or bunions or, you know, foot and ankle injuries. I had the high ankle sprain that lasted a long time, a severe grade 2 sprain. These are all issues that you can get corrected when you have a doctor who understands what he's doing and can get you back to where you need to go. A lot of times, it's not even surgical, but if it is, Dr. Lateef can help you out there as well. To schedule your appointment with a guy who I really trust with foot and ankle injuries, and no one knows more than me, make sure you call Dr. Lateef. Set up your appointment right now, 281-500-8891. That's 281-500-8891. That's the Bayou City Foot and Ankle Clinic.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
751 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good to have good to have Bernard Pollard on back and talk. He's passionate about that. Boy, you definitely hit a nerve.
Yeah.
With that Players Association question. And it's true. I mean, I did a lot of stuff with the CTE, you know, with the concussion stuff, and I was on the Bone and Brain Collaborium over at Methodist, and I did a lot of stuff with Pastorini and Warren Moon, and the fact that NFL players don't have lifetime insurance is ridiculous, and that's something that should change. The very first thing that should change about this is that guys who are risking their lives and doing what they're doing and the money that's involved in this thing, that the NFL won't make sure that they're taken care of for life when they need it later in life, that this seven-year thing is the dumbest thing ever. And that's the first thing that's got to change with this collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, there's you know, I understand those are first-world problems for a lot of people, or the – you know, they'd say, oh, players have to worry about their insurance. I get that. We're talking about the context.
There's a lot of guys that don't have money, yeah. The life-changing money. A lot of guys.
Yeah, we're talking about, no, it's most of them don't have life-changing money. And we're talking about the context of, you know, guys who play in a sport that beat them up. And a lot of times it's beyond the point of needing, like Danny Arnold, his physical therapy stuff, they deal with players who have insurance and who don't have insurance who are coming in. I mean, it's something that you'll have lifelong issues. A lot of these players, one of the things that's been very eye-opening since I got in sports, you know, years and years ago, was how many professional athletes, not just football, but basketball, it can be baseball, but especially the high, you know, the high wear and tear sports, how severe some of the injuries become and how debilitating they become. And that's something that obviously insurance, you know, that whole thing needs to be overhauled. We know what a problem it is just for all of society. But, yeah, it is something that the players is a big deal to the players, especially once they're retired. I think players who are playing now don't care, but they will later on. They just don't know it yet. Bernard's also really into NASCAR. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He's, like, involved, heavily involved in NASCAR. I didn't feel like Go asking him because we did turn into a whole thing.
Yeah, because I wouldn't.
I don't know what to say. And
that's all then I could do.
We would have lost time for you and Bernard Pollard.
We could have gotten Trey on the phone and talk to him.
And you buy his junk.
No.
Wasn't him? Who was the one that got really close to you with his when you were doing an interview? Wasn't it you that you were there and somebody like came and stood? No, it was Matt Thomas.
It wasn't me.
Matt Thomas had a super uncomfortable close encounter with like, hey, oh boy, don't move your head to the right. I can't remember who it was. I think it was a Rocket, but
wasn't me.
Anyway, so here's a question for you. We've only got a couple minutes, but maybe we can carry this over. The Jacksonville Jaguars are their fans are going to dress up. They're going to go basically Halloween style to their last game. Only they're all dressing in the same kind of costumes, clown outfits, because they're saying this is a clown ass product. So we're going to dress like clowns, clown ass organization. So we're going to dress like clowns. Do you have something that you think Texans fans, of course it's a road game, but
now this started with the bags, right? The Saints fans with the bags over their heads.
Next year, if this doesn't get better, I was thinking train conductors for Cal because it's kind of like choo-choo. They, you know, like the owner just playing with toy trains in a room somewhere. I thought conductor.
That's interesting. How about everybody dresses up like Hodor?
It's not a bad idea.
No.
I think it's apropos. If you guys have any of them, 713-780-3776. I'm sure. How should Texans fans dress? Maybe in game one, and maybe it's something. It doesn't have to be.
It's too late for negative. This game,
yeah, too late. Yeah. Is this a road game or home game?
No, this is home.
No. You can get something together.
You can scramble. You still got 4 days.
You can scramble. Absolutely.
4 or 5 days till the game.
What do you want to dress like? What should Texans fans dress like for the last game?
Yeah, we can't copy them as doing clown outfits. What can Texans?
You want them to keep going as empty seats?
They've
been dressing that way most of the year.
Invisible man.
Everybody can go as the invisible seat.
The invisible man.
You could go dressed as, I don't know about clown. What about? Oh, I don't want to say this because it feels. I mean, I don't want to say like a...
Like a priest?
Yeah, or like a preacher.
I knew where you were going right
maybe
away.
Maybe like with the smocks, what are they called that you wear when you're going to go?
Monk, like a monk.
Well, not a monk, but you know you wear when they go up and they do their homily for the... in any religion.
Yeah.
You know, you're wearing your vestige or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about that? Wearing those to the games? It's basically just choir robes.
Well, right. Well, that's something. Is that in protest of
In Jack, Jack We Trust? Or maybe you're showing support. Why does it have to be a protest?
I don't know.
I do think it's more of a protest one.
What
about dressing as red and blue fish?
Red and blue fish.
One fish,
would be,
two fish, red fish, blue fish.
That would be awesome. Coach Bear, how should they dress?
Hey, guys, I want to appreciate, tell y'all, well, one of y'all, what a great Christmas party that was. And I had such a good time, and I almost got the onside kick, did it with one hand, and then that freaking Washington Redskins guy kicked me in the ribs and got the ball. That's right.
That's all fair. All fair in love, war. Love, war, what was given away? Onside kick.
What'd they give away for the kick?
They gave away a pendant, I think. Okay. I mean, earrings or a pendant or whatever. Yeah. Or pearls. I think pearls, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't care. I was just going for the win. And I didn't drop my beer or my two chicken wings in one hand.
Well, that was...
That
was good. Although you should put them down before the onside kick.
And I was barefoot.
Yeah.
And I was barefoot on concrete. But anyway, I got the perfect outfit. Jed Clampett, the Beverly Hillbillies, because he just fell in the money. And he could be out by a cement pond dressed like Jed Clampett, Beverly Hillbillies. That fits our owner perfectly.
Well,
that may be too dated.
Yeah.
But Jed Clampett, but even the suggestion made me giggle. That somebody dresses Jed Clampett. Oh, no. What about everyone in two tight coats? Like Tommy Boy. That guy in little coat. What about everyone in super tight jackets?
And they go wham!
Except the Tommy Boy analogy. What about Big Innie? Way off. Tommy Boy saved the company.
Big Innie
Cal is not saving the company.
The book that tied this story hasn't been fully written yet.
Oh, okay. You believe?
Maybe we're in the middle of Tommy Boy.
That cowboy is going.
And I don't know why you want to.
Maybe it's that right now.
You think Cowboy is going to save the company? Okay.
What about Big Enos and Little Enos?
Oh, what?
From, what about the sheriff?
The sheriff's son?
The sheriff's son. People dressing it. Why are we going to? These are really dated.
Remind me to smack your mama in the mouth when we get home, Junior. Excuse me. This movie's problematic. The sheriff said he's going to smack his mama in the mouth.
This is
problematic.
Where's the best part of Junior? Where did it run?
I mean, that's Full Metal Jacket.
That's true. That is. Yeah. I thought that was in the.
I don't want to put that on the McNairs. That's a little too much.
Everyone wear the poop emoji hats. Super Mario Brothers characters. Cal loves them some video games.
Oh, Ultra that's
Boys,
not bad.
Nuns, the Devil, Cowboys fans, Steve from Blue's Clues.
Steve from Blue's Clues.
What about, the orange tuxedo from
Dumb and Dumber? That's a damn good idea.
That is pretty good. That is pretty good.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
I do like the Steve, too.
Steve from Blue's Clues?
Here's my handy-dandy notebook.
Yeah. What do you got on the text line?
Text line says they should dress like massage therapists.
Oh, no.
Or Pee-wee Herman, because Cal looks like the fat kid who stole Pee-wee's bike, the rich one.
Yeah, but that kid was, Francis Buxton was a real ass. Cal is like, seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, no. This is it right here.
Yeah, Big Enos, Little Enos.
That's more of it.
That's pretty. Or
8 o'clock ESPN.
Patriots jerseys because of the.
What about Jack?
97.
Jack can't catch a little something.
Then you dress like.
I feel like Jack is
the Raven, what about, the bird, or from,
yeah.
From
what
Game
about just dressing as Game of Thrones character like Littlefinger? You get little mustaches.
What about the?
Well, Littlefinger was Peter Baelish was a real creep too, or the other one.
The big crow, or he was something.
I don't
bird.
Understand why you're doing that. You know, just
three-eyed raven.
Not the three-eyed raven.
Although he is more.
Who was the priest that made her shame, shame, shame? Who was the?
Oh, that was God. What was his name? It wasn't the Raven.
Yeah, well, no, it's not the raven, but it was some kind of bird.
Sparrow or something?
The sparrow.
Yeah.
Dressed as the sparrow.
I thought she'd be dressing like Lord Varys. Why does Lord Varys always seem like he wants to see you without your clothes on?
Dress up as convicts?
I would.
No, don't do the convict thing again.
I would like to see you trade DeAndre Hopkins. Wouldn't that be something delicious?
Not Lord Varys. Gomer Pyle, no. All right, 802 ESPN.
Why are you knowing all these? These are all viable.
92.
Stop knowing everything.
713-780. Well, why don't, you know what? Everybody go dressed up, okay? Like it's Halloween at this last
Don't wear
game.
Cowboys gear to the game.
All 12 of you go dressed up to this game because it'll be Halloween out there. All right, when we come back, should this guy get stripped of his MVP vote? We'll talk about it on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.